Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday. It's December 11th. It's 2015. And before we jump into the book of Acts, let me begin with one of the verses, and then I'm going to share a few announcements and God sightings. We'll be into chapter 20, the later half, or about midway through the chapter. But verse 24, I like the beginning. However, I consider my life worth nothing. Okay, Jason, we're going to have you start like there and take us through this wonderful book that recounts the unique ways God was birthing the church early on and working through Paul and the other apostles and just the followers of Jesus, how they spread out through the world and were intent on delivering the good news message that we're celebrating even this Christmas season, that Jesus came, that he made a way for us to have a relationship with God, that he took away the guilt, the sin, and the burden as we entrust our lives, our very souls to him, and that it's because of his finished work on the cross, not because of anything we did. I guess I'm kind of extrapolating. This is way beyond the Christmas story, but the fact that Jesus came as that redemptive message for all of us, that we can have a relationship with God, and what a great season we're in. I know it's been busy for both of us, but, you know, you see those little reminders. I think last night you were reading your children, you know, stories at night, and just that love, that father-daughter, father-son time, and just the season when we think about the Christ child, and just some of the warm feelings, relationships, good times over meals, and just celebrating, gift-giving. It really is a wonderful season, as long as we keep Christ as the focus. I think you had a post or something the other day, even about the Christmas tree, where you and Tasha were trying to figure it out, and you both kind of stopped and paused and said, hey, we're maybe putting too much energy and effort into this tree. You know, I really like that. I think it was something that you posted or listed. It awakened in both of you the importance of keeping Jesus front and center.
You know what? That's what Paul's going to talk about today in the book of Acts. But first, I know you have a couple announcements.
Yes, thank you for getting me back on track. Let me share a little God sighting. Now, you knew about this a couple days ago. It just kind of all came together. But as most in our radio listening audience knows, that we're launching this theater troupe on Saturday, December 19th. And one of the things with putting on, like, the Magi is having costumes and even makeup and other things to help enhance the whole presentation. Well, Kate said, hey, Mark is the director of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. Do I have a budget? You know, and I'm like, you know, a number cruncher, a bean counter. It's like, oh, yeah, how are we going to come up with some resources? And costumes aren't cheap. And, you know, you're only going to get a little use out of them, and then they get stored. So I was kind of like, how can we be good stewards? And yet I do want to have a quality presentation. Well, on I think it was Monday or Tuesday's edition of the News Gazette, where's my little article, but there was a great story about a church in Muhammad, the Lutheran church, and how they yearly put on this great nativity scene outdoors, and they pictured, oh, I can't find it, it's a real nice photo, it was people, oh, there it is, in costume, and it's like, wow, those look like two great wise men, the costumes and children, you know, with the hats or, oh, crowns or, what are those things that kings wear on their head that are like
crown.
Velvety and, you know, those really ornate kind of whatever they are, crowns. And then I noticed that these two wise men, they listed it, you know, in the caption, Bill Taylor of Muhammad and Rich Atwood of Seymour. And so I'm thinking, you know, we actually kind of need a couple more people for our casting. And I wonder if one of them or both of them, you know, might sign on. And then if they did, maybe then the church would allow us to utilize the costumes. You know, I'm kind of making the strategy of how I can present this. And so I finally kind of tracked down the church number and the pastor. There's a new pastor there, Pastor Nikolai. And after leaving a message and then the next day calling back and such, I said, hey, Pastor Nikolai, this is what we're doing at the Marketplace Mall Food Court on the 19th. And, you know, we have this vision of reaching the public and presenting it during the Singing Men concert and on and on. And he said, sounds very interesting. And I said, well, I see you have these great costumes, and I heard they're all packed away for the season from Bill Taylor, who had played a wise man. But I said, might there be a possibility, or would you entertain the idea of maybe loaning him out? And he said, yeah, I think we could do that. And I'm like, I said, holy cow, I think God's answering my prayers. And so talked with him, and he said, hey, I think there's not a problem, but I said, well, what's the next step? And he said, well, actually, they have this like a worship leader / drama person / youth minister. Her name is Kat Downs, and I think she wears like a full-time cap and does some other ministry there at the church. I mean, full-time with the church and then some. And so talked with her. And she said, oh, I don't see any problem. You know, come on over. Look at what you want. We have many outfits because we've done this a number of years. She said the only thing is some of them might be large because they tend to wear them over their coats because we do it outdoors during the cold weather. And she said, but they're adjustable. Anyways, all to say, we got a total green light from them. So on Wednesday night, we had an additional rehearsal for the theater troupe. And so I got to share with all the cast members that, hey, we got costumes. We're going to be good to go. And then I also asked Rich, who was a part of that church, the Lutheran Church of Muhammad, might he entertain the idea of being one of our wise men or a high priest? I talked to him Wednesday morning. He showed up Wednesday night, was phenomenal. Deep, deep voice, a big guy, you know, with the beard and everything. So we included him, and then Jim Miller signed on, and then we had a last-minute addition of Kevin Brooks and his wife, Betsy. And so let me read you a little email, and then we'll jump right into the Book of Acts. But this was from the theater director, and she had mentioned to me later on, oh, I forgot to mention Jim Miller, and he was a former radio board member with this ministry, and he's stepping in to play a wise man, and he's just great for the role. But Kate wrote, and she's the director of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, dear Great News Radio Theater Troupe, thank you for a fabulous rehearsal last night. So this was on Wednesday night. She sent this out Thursday, yesterday morning. We are working towards a wonderful result. This is so exciting. I see God doing a great work here. He is doing a new thing. It isn't like anything else we've ever done before, so hold on to your hats because we're going to see the miraculous through this whole undertaking. I want to welcome our new wise man, Rich Atwood. All the voices of the wise men sounded just perfect, bouncing off each other, and King Herod. Kevin Brooks seems to fit right into the role as the youngest wise man, and I look forward to the things that he will bring up with his part. I want to thank Kevin's lovely wife, Betsy, for choreographing the angels and playing Martha for us. Fabulous job. A couple more sentences. Ellen also has done a fabulous job of being King Herod's henchman, so to speak, which goes to show that Shakespeare was right. There are no small parts, only small actors. When every actor is present and doing their part, fantastic things keep happening. Tad was almost completely off book. Great job. Tad's playing King Herod, and so he didn't have to carry around the script. So we're going to be off script, and they're really working hard on memorizing their lines. And so it was really fun. And then I know that Huey thinks that he won't end up playing in a part, but I thought he was funny as Joey. Yeah, there's a couple of really good characters. These are shop owners, like on the streets of Jerusalem when the wise men come through. So there's some interesting interactions between the wise men and these shopkeepers. And so Huey was a part. And then Marianne Offenstein was able to track down a creche. I'll pick it up. So we're going to have some great visual aids. And then she goes on to say some other wonderful things. And we're going to have another rehearsal on Monday, then our dress rehearsal on Thursday. Then we'll be at the mall on Friday to run through it. And then Saturday, December 19th at noon in the food court, the debut of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. So we're so excited about that on the 19th. And then this weekend, Sunday, December 13th at 6 p.m., the Singing Men of GNN will be putting on a Christmas concert at the First Baptist Church of Rantoul, 401 Glenwood Drive. And we're looking forward to that in the second of our Christmas series. So this Sunday, 6 p.m. in Rantoul, and then the following Saturday, December 19th at the Marketplace Mall Food Court. And so thank you, God, for just answering the need for the costumes that we had and just putting the right people in place. And I really think we have the right individuals playing the right roles. And so it looks like it's all coming together. So Love it when a plan comes together. You know all about that. And it seems like the plan that's going on in this book of Acts is Paul's surrender to the leading of the Lord and following what the Lord wants to do in and through him. Things are falling into place.
Yeah, it certainly is. What Paul's doing here, though, as we get into the book of Acts, I mean, we've been in chapter 20 for quite a while, and there's so much good stuff happening in 20, but Paul, at the latter half of this, he's saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders, and we can just tell as we read this chapter, Paul has such an affection for these elders, such an affection for these men, and begins in verse 24, as you already read, he says, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself." In fact, he says in Philippians, right, he says, I count everything rubbish up and against the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul's not saying I'm worthless, I'm of no value, I'm no good. But he said, when I measure my life up against Christ's life, it's as if I don't have any value.
Mm-hmm. It's
as if I have nothing, and that's because everything that I have must come from him. So Paul actually has great value, but his value is found in Christ and who Christ is in him. I mean, what does the Bible say? Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Mm-hmm.
And so this hope that Paul carries around in him, as we're going to read it as these verses go on, this is the hope that Paul is sharing. This is the hope that Paul is giving to people. And so Paul says, I have no value apart from Christ. But what he'll say as we go on, or he'll at least imply, is that he has great value through Christ. He says, if only I may finish my course. And when Paul says this course, I mean, you'd say, what does he mean, his course? Paul's saying that the leading of the Holy Spirit, the leading of God, how God is leading his life. He's allowing God to work in and through him and to guide him at every step. Remember, Paul wanted to go to Asia Minor and preach the gospel, and the gospel would have blown up if it went to Asia Minor, and it would have spread across. And he went to go to Bithynia, and Bithynia would have done the same thing. And I mean, historians and scholars say that if he would have gone and preached the gospel there, just because of the trading routes and the way that information moved, the gospel would have just gone bonkers. It would have gone crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, God sends Paul on a different journey because God had specific people that he wanted Paul to touch. God had a specific course that he wanted Paul to take. God and the Holy Spirit were Paul's navigation system.
And Paul knew at this time that he was destined for some suffering as he headed towards Jerusalem, right?
Yeah, he knew that was part of his course. You know, when I read that in Paul's course, it makes me think of flying in an airplane. And at some point during your trip on an airplane, you run into choppy air. You run into some turbulence. And Paul knew, because he was preaching this message of Christ and because of the way he valued and held on to the message of Christ, that he was just going to run into some turbulence. He was going to run into some choppy. In fact, he already has. And so he knows that that's normal for his life. That's normative, that pain and suffering, affliction and persecution are normal. A part of his life. In fact, when you read the Bible, Mark, what's fascinating is that in the Bible, nowhere does it say that we should just be let out of persecution. In fact, the Bible points us towards persecution and says that persecution is a normal part of Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's in the first or the second chapter of Thessalonians. Paul prays for the Thessalonians. And the Thessalonian church at the time in Thessalonica was under heavy persecution. And Paul never prays in that beginning prayer. He never prays that they would be delivered from persecution, but that they would bear up well beneath the weight
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we think about that, Mark, that is totally counter to the way that we often pray, isn't it?
Right.
We go and we pray like, Lord, deliver me from this. Lord, bring me out from in this. Imagine if Paul came to one of our prayer meetings today. Paul would say, Lord, keep them in it. Allow them to know that you're with them and allow them to bear up well beneath it. And you'd be like, Paul, couldn't you like pray me out of this?
Yeah,
and Paul's
yeah.
like, no, I want to pray you deeper into it, because the more you're in this, the more you're going to realize how reliant you are on Jesus Christ, reliant you are on needing God.
Yeah, and you have a term you've said many times. It forces you to lean into God instead of trying to be independent mm-hmm. or working it through your own strength or ability or circumstances. It's like, Lord, I have nothing here. You have to help. And that's really where he wants us.
Yeah, it's totally where he wants us. And so Paul says he wants to finish his course, and he says, and the ministry that I received from who? The Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And so Paul, right here in this sentence, he makes some really great, even for this time of year, connections for us, that this message that he received from Jesus, so Paul received this message from Jesus in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. He saw the grace of God in effect. But the gospel begins, and the grace of God begins to roll itself out in the incarnation, in the manger. That's the ultimate grace of God. I mean, where God empties himself, Philippians 2, empties himself of what it means to be God and humbles himself and takes upon the likeness of human flesh. And so here, he's making deep connections for us to the story of Christ's coming and his crucifixion and his suffering and his humiliation and his humility and what he did on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, and behold, and I've always told you, behold means aha. I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. He says, you'll never see me again. I realize how this is going to shake out. And this has to be a moment here, I believe, where the Ephesian elders, they just felt a deep sadness because they loved Paul and Paul loved them. And here Paul says, you won't see me again. And he says, therefore, I testify to you this day. So he's making an emphatic statement. He says, I'm not going to see you again. And I believe that last words are really important.
Mm-hmm.
The things that people say, their last kind of parting words. You know, I remember a number of years ago, and I like a good Western.
Hmm.
And I remember that I watched that movie Tombstone with
Clint Eastwood.
Was it with Clint Eastwood?
John
I can't
Wayne?
Remember who. No, not John Wayne. Kurt.
Douglas.
Kurt Russell. I can't remember.
I'm just guessing.
But there's a great scene where Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday are in a room, and Doc Holliday is very sick. And Doc Holliday, it's one of the last things he's going to utter in the movie, and he looks at Wyatt Earp, and he says to him, he says, Wyatt, I don't know if I've ever had a friend like you.
Hmm.
And it's just this deep kind of moment where you go, wow. Because that was counter when you watch the rest of the Western movie. That's counter to the character of Doc Holliday.
Hmm.
That's counter to who he was. He was wisecracking and kind of sardonic, and he was unkind and brusque. That was not something you expected to hear out of his mouth. And so last words matter. And here's what Paul says. He says, my last words to you is going to be me testifying. And he says, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all. And when he says all, he doesn't mean all is in the entire world, but he means all that he's preached to.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying here, I have preached the gospel to everybody in such a way that I'm innocent of where they stand because I've done everything. Remember, we saw earlier, Paul went house to house preaching the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Even in places where he was not accepted or he was not, you know, he didn't ingratiate himself in such a way that people opened their doors and invited him in instead they shut their doors and they persecuted him. Paul went door to door. He got in people's houses and he shared the gospel. Preached for 3,000 hours in the halls of Tyrannus. And here Paul says, I'm innocent of the blood of all because I did all that I could. And we know that because in verse 27 he says, and this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Mark, for I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God.
Mm.
That means every bit of it. That means every single jot and tittle. He told them the things that are hard to hear. He told them like when Jesus said, you're going to have to hate your brother and your brother and your mother and your sister. You're going to have to bear that cross up and you're going to have to follow me. You know, when he said to Peter at the end of the Gospel of John, what's it to you? You follow me. I mean, he preached all these kind of biting words. He preached every single bit of the Bible. He preached to Sodom and Gomorrah. He preached Noah and the ark and the flood and the ungodly drowning and dying as God's wrath poured over the earth. He preached Genesis chapter 3, the sin of Adam and Eve and what that meant for human race. I mean, he preached the crucifixion and all of its torment and wickedness and then the glories of the resurrection. He preached every bit of the Bible, the whole counsel. And I love that it says that he didn't shrink back because I think that oftentimes we get to those places that are slightly uncomfortable and we shrink back.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe it's even just the way we talk. We say, it's kind of like saying this. No, it is saying this. It's not kind of like saying this. It's a God-revealed word. It's breathed out. He spoke it. He is saying this. God says this.
And he's not being silent. You know, many times in conversation, something is shared, and you're like, oh, I just don't want to push, you know, I'm just not going to say anything. And really, you're knowing there's a prodding in your heart to speak out or declare what God would have you say, and you don't. But Paul did.
Right. I would guarantee that each one of us, as we share Jesus Christ, as we walk alongside people, where we have shrunk back.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder if we were to be really kind of gut-level honest with each other, could the testimony of Paul here be our testimony? And if it's not, then can this be a wake-up call for us? Can this be strong coffee in the morning for us where we'll say, I want that kind of testimony. I want to stand before Jesus Christ on that final day and say, I did not hesitate to shrink back from declaring the whole counsel of God, your breathed out, inerrant, infallible word. Because I believe, I love when Paul says to Timothy, for I know whom I have believed upon. The economy of words that Paul uses there and the power, that sums up his whole ministry. That sums up why he did what he did and how he did what he did. He knew whom he had believed upon. And here Paul says, because I have believed upon him, I have not shrunk back from declaring his word. That's why Paul can say to the Romans with no fear, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God. And that's really what Paul is saying as he's testifying to the Ephesian elders. He's saying God's word is power, and God is power. And don't shrink back, brothers. In fact, we don't have time to continue to go through it. We'll pick it up next week. But he's going to now tell them, because you believe this, because you know who this is, because you know whom you have believed upon and where your power has come from, you better guard that flock. You better watch them. And the first place, I think, when we're leading and guiding people that we have to stand guard and be very watchful is in our own selves. I know me as a pastor, I have to be very watchful of my own heart. I don't want to shrink back from declaring the truth. You know, there's times when you read things in the Bible and you go, oh, my gosh, if I explain this, the way that this is actually saying this, some people are not going to be happy. But the goal is never happiness. The goal is holiness.
Right, right.
The goal is presenting to people a holy God who is worthy of all of our praise, not some of our praise, but all of our praise. And therefore, you know, Mark, I guess today you could entitle this message, Don't Shrink Back. Avoid shrinkage.
And we know all about shrink from our days at Jewel, because shrink was, you know,
right,
you supply losses and all those things that would cut into the profits. Hey, you know, another word, Jason, that you're sharing, I think, for me and for our listeners is not only the shrinking back, but the opportunities, especially during the season, whether it's just saying Merry Christmas or extrapolating, sharing what the Christmas story means to you in so many different ways. I mean, we have a plethora, if you will, of opportunities just throughout the day as people are talking about Christmas or Christmas shopping, where you can intersperse biblical truth or godly truth or point to the real reason of the season. I mean, I think God doesn't want us to shrink back ever, but especially during the season when opportunities present themselves. And so let's be intentional, everyone, and really seize those moments. Let's begin the day by saying, Lord, order my steps, allow those divine appointments to be, well, they're always, well, I don't know if they're always obvious, but they're always out there. We just have to seize the moment, not shrink back, and then just ask him to work through us and give us the right words or the expressions or the listening ear, or just to be patient in line. I mean, some of those very subtle things that we're carrying that peace of Christ into this season.
Well, I would agree, Mark. And next week we'll pick up how Paul takes this message, his testifying to the elders, and now applies it to them and how they lead the church.
All right. Look forward. I think probably next week we'll finally have you back in the studio. Thank you, God, for the ability of just calling you up and being able to have this program through the phone lines. And thank you, listener, for tuning in today and during this Christmas season. It's all Christmas music now through the end of the year. But better yet, come see the Singing Men live this Sunday night, December 13th, at the First Baptist Church of Rantoul, 401 Glenwood Drive. There'll be a free roll offering, but just come on out with your friends and family and close out the Sunday evening with a time of worship with Christmas carols, holiday favorites, and just celebrating the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of the radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
In the little village of Bethlehem, there lay a child one and the sky was bright with a holy light, o'er the place where Jesus lay. Alleluia, oh, how the angels sang. Alleluia.